You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour Overdrive, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app, and now on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan. The O-Dog may or may not join us later in the hour.
He's gone.
I would suggest that you don't hold your breath that he will be making a triumphant return.
Yes.
I think he's more than likely on the 401 heading westbound right now.
Yes, at 6:01, he is on the road. He is gone. Which, I mean, he's had a long day.
He's had a long day. But so have you, and you're still here. Mm-hmm. And Ray's had a long day, but Ray's going to join us in studio, I think, at 6:20. And you talk about a triumphant return. Jay Onright and Dan O'Toole are returning to TSN in the fall. The boys made that announcement earlier this morning on Trade Center that they are going to return SC with Jay and Dan, I believe, midnight.
Yes.
Monday through Friday. Somehow they worked out a way to get the summer off, which I've got a lot of time for.
Nothing wrong with that.
They're going to join us in about 4 or 5 minutes, and I will ask them how they managed to get the summer off. How do you work that out? Like, I know they're moving from L.A. up to Toronto again.
Right.
But there are trades happening throughout the NHL. Like, Brian Boyle moved from Tampa to L.A., and he found a way to be on the ice last night.
Right.
Oh, he looked really tired.
He was a bit tired, but still, he probably had a lot on his plate. He's not like the Raptors player that took 2 weeks to get into the lineup.
Serge Ibaka took, I think it was 10 or 12 days. Now, yeah. The All-Star break was there, too. You got to give him.
But the All-Star break was like 3 days.
Yeah, he was out of the lineup for a while. He missed one game, ultimately, but he was in town. He could have
getting
played.
Getting acclimated.
And I still don't really know why he didn't play. But he didn't play.
You're right.
And he will play tonight because the Raptors are taking on Washington. They've got a home-and-home tonight and, I believe, Friday with Washington. The Leafs coming off a predictable loss. If you told me before the game they were going to lose 3-1 to San Jose, nobody would have been surprised.
Yeah. No.
And if you watch the game, San Jose was the better team. But with a minute 23 to go, they're tied 1-1. You've got to get a point.
Yeah,
and I've cooled down a little bit, but I was chomping at the bit at 4 p.m.
You were pretty fired up.
Well, I was animated because of what is becoming a consistent theme. We keep talking about the veteran players letting this team down.
Right.
Or at least being in a position where if they supplied what they're capable of supplying, they wouldn't be losing as many points as they have been. And that's what I saw last night. JVR and Jake Gardner in particular factored into what happened on that final shift. It cost the team at least a point.
Yeah, you were getting 1 point. That's it. To me, San Jose looked like they were having a night, and Freddie Anderson helped them out. But
you get to a shootout, Noodles. Neither, who knows?
You're right.
Maybe you get that second point.
You're right. Or you get a breakaway in overtime, and Matthew scores or Marner scores. But you're right. You with a 1:23 left. At that point, that's where you've got to go into protective mode and be smart and get that point in the bank and then go for it in overtime. They couldn't do it.
JVR's got to get that puck deep.
Yes.
Or battle for the puck with Brent Burns. He didn't do either. And Jake Gardner and Marner. And I think it was Hunwick.
Right.
You can't allow Patrick Marleau to turn you inside out 1-on-3.
No.
Although a lot of people pointed out, you look at the tape, it looked like there were too many men on the ice. For San Jose.
Yeah, there was a loose change.
It was a very loose change.
Yeah.
And, you know, somehow the refs didn't pick that up. I don't want to go into conspiracy theory here, but...
There was some reffing last night that...
was not great.
Well, Torts went after... I don't know if you saw that.
I saw that.
Torts...
He was going postal was at the hot. Bell Center last night.
He was hot. And you can't argue that Seth Jones took his hand off his stick and reached in. Like, that's a penalty. But given the context, I don't think it was an even-up call. But Pacioretty felt that he scored the shift before in overtime, and they ruled it no goal. And the explanation apparently he got, as Pacioretty spoke afterwards, was that the puck was covered, and it clearly wasn't covered. So there was some inconsistency there, but Torts was hot.
And they still get a point, right? Like they Columbus, they're going to the playoffs, and I know that they're fighting for seeding right now.
Right.
But if I'm them, it's kind of the opposite of what's going on in the Atlantic Division. I don't want to be the first overall team in the Atlantic because then I've got to play the first wild card team,
right,
which will be the fourth place team in the Metro. On the opposite side of things, if I'm in the Metro, I want to either be first, so I'm Washington, or fourth, so I cross over and I play Montreal.
Yes.
I don't want Pittsburgh or New York or Columbus in the first round. So in a weird way, and I know this isn't built into the DNA of coaches and it never has been, it never will be, but there's a part of me that wants to pull Tortorella aside and say, they did you a favor. Finish fourth.
Yeah, just
so that you
tap.
Play Montreal in the first round and then play Ottawa in the second round.
Yeah.
Guess what? You can really see yourself in a conference final pretty quickly.
You can, but I also think in looking at Columbus, if going into the playoffs it was Columbus, Montreal, I'd take Montreal.
I think I would too, because of Columbus. Because they don't have a track record. They've never won a playoff round.
Yeah.
But they've been better and more consistent than Montreal this year.
Yeah. They've been more consistent for sure.
Anyway. Big news today.
Yes.
14 trades, none of them significant.
This is the only thing that mattered today. The only thing in our world.
The only thing that mattered today. Was Jay and Dan returning to TSN.
Exactly.
SC with Jay and Dan. Midnights, 7 days a week.
Yes.
12 months a year.
12 months a year. Every night.
Every single night these guys are going to be working. Let's bring them in here.
Yes.
It's good to have you boys back. Thank you for doing this. How excited are you guys to be coming back to TSN?
Guys. Did we miss some of the small print?
Get a lawyer now, because you're going to be working a lot.
We're paying our agents a lot of money, and they did not lock that down. I'm very concerned.
You should be, man, and we're excited. Listen, your agent somehow found a way to keep you guys on the sidelines until the fall. How'd you get the summer off?
We deserved it. I think that's the bottom line. We've been working 7 days a week, as you mentioned, Hayes, for 15, 16 years now. So we wanted to take a little bit of a break. Also, we kind of want to milk this weather down here a little longer.
I guess.
Don't blame you from that standpoint.
There's nothing wrong with that. You can hear the wind blowing in the background. They're on the beach. They're not anywhere but on the beach.
I'm staring at
Dan's actually breathing heavily.
That's how excited I am, guys. That's how excited I am.
Jay and Dan returning to TSN. SC with Jay and Dan will be on at midnight, again, beginning in the fall. And you guys are coming back at a very interesting time from my standpoint, because I was thinking about this earlier. You guys left in 2012, right?
Yeah, 2013.
Okay, so that was right after the Jays had their most disappointing season probably in franchise history after all those trades. The Leafs were a tire fire. The Raptors were a debacle. And now you're coming back. The Jays have been to the ALCS 2 years in a row. Raptors were in the Eastern Conference Final last year, and the Leafs are one of the most exciting teams in the league. I mean, you picked your timing pretty nicely here. Are you hoping to really cash in on the success of the Toronto teams in particular when you come home?
And the Argos got Trestman and Pop.
Right.
Come on.
I should have known that. You're right.
Is there a lot of Argos talk here on this network? I would say that we have been watching this from afar, Hayes, and it's been amazing to watch a rebuild actually be successful in the case of the Leafs. And then, you know, the city was always fired up about the Raptors and always ready for the Raptors to be great. Terrible news about Lowry the other day, but I still love what they're doing. And, of course, the Jays. I think there was a lot of us, Hayes and Noodles, that probably thought the Jays would never be good again when we left in 2013. I just think there was a time when we thought it was just never going to come together and that the Red Sox and Yankees would always be so dominant. So just to have a little bit of success. Thank you for slamming that door. I appreciate it. Just have a little success for us to taste in the city of Toronto. It's nice. We're excited to come back and kind of be a part of it, and kind of because we've been watching it from afar for so long. So it's really exciting.
And watching it down here, guys, we got to see other people's view of the Blue Jays because we have a clouded vision. You don't know if other people feel the same way. Americans like watching Blue Jays baseball. It's exciting. So that was the one takeaway from the Blue Jays' success is it's not just in Canada. Everyone else sees them, too, as one of the most exciting teams in Major League Baseball.
With Jay Onwright, Dan O'Toole, Jay and Dan, they're returning to TSN. SC with Jay and Dan beginning in the fall. Dan, you've been interesting. I've been loving your one-day or one-tweet-per-day routine recently. Do you intend on continuing that once you get back up here?
Yes, I got really lazy on Twitter, and I'm like, I'm not on Facebook, I'm not on anything. So it's a year-long project I've given myself. Some days it's very weak in what I add to my Twitter, but other days we have some fun with it. In the last few days, keeping this under wraps, it was tough. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to keep that up. I can't wait.
Well, that's what I found funny, too, because you know the way this business works in this building. I mean, there was so much buzz about you guys because everyone was so happy for you when you left, but disappointed because you meant so much to the company and you were obviously, you know, two guys that people really enjoyed having around up here. So when the news broke that maybe you would be coming up here, everyone was buzzing about it, but no one knew exactly what was going on. And everyone I would talk to, Noodles, I'm sure you could preach to this, I'd have someone say, yeah, I think Dan's coming. I don't know what Jay's doing. I think Jay might be coming. Dan, he really likes his life in L.A. I mean, were you guys tracking the rumors?
There was rumors. That's what it was.
There were a lot
rumors
of rumors going
you.
On about what you guys were going to do.
I got a feeling out that phone call. I got a feeling out phone call from O-Dog when I was in Vegas on Saturday. The classic O-Dog phone call. O'Toole. What's going on? I said, hey, we're in talks, but I didn't give him any info. But that was the one source that was searching for information. I gave him none.
Good man. Jay, how did you handle it?
I was just monitoring O-Dog's dismantling of the Leafs by not trading Austin Matthews for Connor McDavid as much as I could over the last couple of days. We're just excited to come back together. Just like you two, it's a work marriage, very similar to a real marriage in that there's no sex, at least to my knowledge. And we wanted to keep it together. We wanted to come back together. So it was very important that we worked it out that way. And we wanted to come back to TSN. So this is the thing we wanted the most. And the fact that it kind of happened is kind of amazing. We're excited about the new show. It's going to be very familiar to everybody. You know, it'll be the highlights that everyone always loves. But the last 2 years down here, we've done some fun stuff because they wouldn't let us do highlights. And we realized that we enjoyed doing it, you know, sort of incorporating the best elements of our podcast into the show. And interviews and comedy bits. So it'll be kind of a mix of the old and the new, and we'll still be on in the morning for everybody who likes getting up with us in the morning. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Plus, I hope I get to come on the radio with you guys all the time because I just think you're great.
Absolutely.
Guys, you guys are clearly on this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jay.
No, I was just going to say that Noodles and Hayes are clearly, you know, two-thirds. It's more than two-thirds. You're really the most important cogs in the wheel on the afternoon show.
Right.
Now that O-Dog's not here, we can say that he's luggage. You're carrying him. He's eating burgers. He's looking for ketchup. So let's all agree to just bash O-Dog as much as we can now that he's not here. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. We can do that.
We're
usually
fine with that.
Here,
we usually do that when he's falling asleep in his chair, but but we'll do it when he's.
Hey guys, I wanted to get your take on this. So our network, our old network, FS1, it's turned into all debate, all the time, hot takes, and that's all they want. Why has that not translated to Canada? Because it doesn't happen in Canada at all.
It's a good question, man, and I've thought of that myself. I guess it's got to be the audience, right? It's got to be what people believe the audience is looking for. And I guess in the States, there must be data behind it that leads people to believe it sells. But I don't, you know, there are takes up here. There are opinionists up here. But in your face, over the top hyperbole, I don't know if it sells in Canada.
Can't you have both? Like if I'm growing up, I was a fan of highlights because I want to see what's going on around the league. And then if you have your favorite analysts, you want to hear what they have to say about it. But to me, it's got to be a mix. It can't just be hot takes because it gets old. And if you don't like that person's hot takes, you turn it off. You say, I'm tired of this guy's opinion.
Yeah, it got to a point at some point where you're, and not just on our network, any network, where you listen to people's takes on LeBron or Kevin Durant, and you're like, what do they have against this guy? He's done nothing to them.
Right. Right. I mean, and that's the truth. You keep going back to the well, and at some point you wonder how anyone can take that hot take even remotely seriously.
Right.
You know, like LeBron in particular, Aaron Rodgers takes heat. There's a bunch of guys, and I'm with you. I don't know why it translates, how it translates, but obviously there are people that believe it does. But as for up here, I mean, I think you got a real opportunity, and you sound like you're really motivated to bring kind of the best of multiple worlds. And I know I can speak for everyone here. We're really excited about it. So, you know, good luck with
everything.
I'm
excited about this UPS truck, too. I apologize. I picked the worst possible place to do this interview, in an alley in Santa Monica. So hopefully I don't get mugged. And I apologize for that. But, yeah, no, that's exactly what we want to do. And, I mean, when we hear it from people all the time from Canada who vacation in the States, they turn on ESPN SportsCenter in the morning. They're not showing highlights anymore, period. So, you know, they want to kind of catch up on what's going on. And I know they can check their phones and all that, but sometimes you just like to kick back and watch someone deliver all that stuff to you. It doesn't exist down here anymore. So we're grateful that it still does. Thank you, sir. You're UPS driver. Thank you. We're happy that it does exist down, you know, up there, and we can come back and continue to do it because that's just what we love to do.
SC
I got a classic hot take sent to me. I got a classic hot take sent to me yesterday because I sent out people's reaction to Sidney Crosby's golden goal at the Vancouver Olympics. Someone actually commented and said, yeah, that's the only thing he did all tournament. What? Come on.
That's a pretty big moment, I would say. I think he would take that over production earlier in the tournament every day of the week.
If you had to trade it, you'd probably make that deal.
I think so. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what would happen. SC with Jay and Dan beginning in the fall. We can't wait. Everyone's so excited about it. I sound like Trump. So safe travels up here. And we can't wait to have you
up here.
It's going
to be great. Tremendous.
Just don't be sad, pathetic, failing, and we'll be all good, okay?
Okay.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right, boys. We'll see you soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
There they are. Jay Onright, Dan O'Toole. Coming back to TSN.
Got me excited, actually, thinking about them coming back.
They're such great. Good guys.
They're great on
air. I mean,
like,
really
great guys. They're great on air.
Yeah, they're fun.
And they're back where they belong, really.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a chance to watch a lot of their network, but I don't know if underappreciated is the word. Their work, they're very passionate about their work. And down there, like you said, the formula is just different.
Exactly. And I can't speak to it. I don't obviously have access to what's going on down there.
Right.
It's not, you know, I'm not taking runs at it.
It's just different.
They approach it differently. Yeah, radio's different in the States than it is up here. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, Canada, we got our own thing going.
Got our own shtick up here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it works.
So Jay and Dan, they're making their way back in the fall. SC with Jay and Dan. Midnights, not every single day of the week.
Monday to Friday.
More than likely Monday to Friday, I would think. But more details will come out over the summer, exactly what's going to happen, and we're all looking forward to it. Ray will join us in studio.
Yep.
Ray's been around for a while. He was right beside the O-Dog when the O-Dog was searching out ingredients and the Harvey's Inquisition went down right beside Ray. So we'll get him to detail what that experience was like and get his take on the day as a whole. Again, 14 trades in total. Ray Ferraro in studio next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Ray Ferraro, our hockey analyst in studio. How you holding up, buddy?
Well, I got rid of, if I could fix this mic, it would be better. But I got safely away from O before he spilt on me today. He was very hungry. I escaped Marty Biron getting slimed by Jen.
Mm-hmm.
That thing came out of the cannon pretty hard.
I saw it, like, because we have the TV up in the studio. It looked like it was a pretty substantial amount of slime, too.
Marty thought it was going to be something that would come out and, like, lasso him. So I don't know why he thought
he
that.
He thought it was like a netting or something like that?
And so I think he was...
surprised.
He was quite surprised.
Was he angry?
No, Marty.
He could be. Almost killed Hedge last year.
He's a good sport.
You know who got away unscathed out of this whole thing was Duffy. Because Duffy turned up, the first time they shot the gun with the T-shirt in it, the shirt came out poof, just like there was nothing. So Duffy doesn't know what he's doing, so he cranks the thing up about seven notches. They just about put a hole in Hedge. So,
right.
But Duffy just, no, he skated.
Well, he gets away with everything, right? It's his big day. He's on TV constantly.
He's the orchestrator.
Yeah.
He's the guy behind the curtain pressing all the buttons, but he doesn't. Nobody attacks him.
4 seconds into the show today, he knocked over Biron's water all over Marty's shoes. Marty sounded when he walked like he was on the beach. So that was when we started. Then I don't know. It's kind of one of those things. I'm not really sure what happened today.
Well, we had Owen about an hour ago.
And the vegan?
We were playing his clips. Yeah. Literally 26 hours ago, he started the show by saying he's thinking of going vegan. And by 9:45 this morning, he was having a conniption because Harvey's hadn't delivered burgers yet. But when his mic was live and he asked you if there was ketchup on that burger, have you heard this clip yet?
I heard him
say. You were
say
there. You were live. Yeah. Okay, let's play it one more time. Yes. And then, because I need to get your breakdown because... you were there. This is like the Kennedy assassination. You were on the grassy knoll. You were there for this. This is one of the great moments in live TV history.
We want to get Brent's feedback. He covers the Senators on a regular day on the Curtis Lazar trade to Calgary. Brent.
Is there ketchup on that?
Yes, James.
And Wally gets stumped there, man.
Well, Wally,
he stops. And he's
okay,
like,
so the untold part of that, I think, is... when they brought the burgers in, for some reason, O had come up here to do the radio. When he came back, in the time he was gone, that's when they delivered the burgers. So he was standing offset, staring at us with the baby gorilla face there. And he was like, you know, he was just looking at it because, I want the burger. So by the time he gets there, I've got my burger there and I've eaten a couple of bites of it. And he's staring at it like he's been a hostage and he hasn't eaten in a year. And then that's when he said, is there ketchup on that?
Is there ketchup on that?
He's so serious.
That's
about
the amazing thing, right? Like, this is like determining whether or not you're going to go to war if there's ketchup on this burger.
By the way, ketchup or no, he was eating that burger.
That's what I asked him because I couldn't figure out whether or not he wanted there to be ketchup or didn't want ketchup.
Yeah.
Now, it turns out he said he really wanted ketchup, but I'm with you. If you came back and said no ketchup, what do you think? He wasn't going to. Eat that? There's
he
no
was
way
eating
he was
that.
To stop.
Yes.
Maybe the upset was he didn't eat the bag that it came in. He was
if
so
there was
hungry.
Dirt on it. He said, no, it's not ketchup. There's dirt. Yeah. Oh, no problem.
That's fine.
That was so good, man. It was so good. And let's be honest, this day, now that we're past it.
It was the worst trade deadline ever.
There just nothing ever happens, right?
This was the worst ever.
Why do you say that?
Because nothing of consequence happened today.
The players-wise.
The players-wise. I mean, the deals that happened, it seemed like everybody was jammed in a corner. They had no cap room, or there were too many teams that were close, or the players weren't available. I'm not sure what it was, but nobody... I mean, the top scorer, I think, that traded places today was Thomas Vanek.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, Thomas Vanek's had a good season, but that doesn't carry the day.
That doesn't mean Florida's a lock to make it.
No, I mean, if we had gotten the Hanzel deal today, okay, that's a different story. Or if
Shattenkirk,
well, then you got lots of meat to talk about. But, you know, I mean, Montreal adds 4 tall guys. And, you know, I don't know if that changes their team or they just got to get bigger sweaters. You know, Toronto makes the deal they make. And
that's for a pick.
You know, I mean, James asked, this was actually was really good. So James had Lou Lamoriello on and he asked Lou if the fair trade was, you know, to get some depth or to get the draft pick or to do something for the expansion. And he said, yes, all of that. That was it. That was the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was nothing about we're going to make the team better right now or we're going to, you know, it's like a 3-part move for them that kind of worked. But it's not a deal that you go, oh, gee, nobody's excited about that deal even though Fair may end up playing some games for them and being, I think he's a pretty good player. But when Brian Boyle came, there was far more excitement.
Big time, because you knew he was playing, and you knew he'd have an impactful role. We talked about the report that was out there that Valtteri Filppula was potentially involved in the Boyle deal, and he turned it down. And as I pointed out earlier, I think it's because the word is out league-wide. If you're a vet with term and money, do not come to Toronto, because they will bury you.
Well, there's one other component as I think of that. When Filppula's run ended in Detroit, his coach was Mike Babcock. And not to say that there was any grand feud or anything, because I'm sure there wasn't, but he wasn't in Detroit, and he ran out of road, and Babcock was coaching the team. So why is he going to think things are going to be different? Of course he's going to hold out. Now he's getting, you know, he gets moved to Philly, and I think that was that the one that they held back 4.6% of the salary?
Yeah, 7% or something of the salary.
It's some crazy formula that all works in there. But Tampa ended up clearing quite a bit of cap room out for this year and next year. It was a good deal for them, but that was an odd deal.
Well, you know what else I found odd? I haven't brought this up yet. McKenzie sends out a tweet at 2:15 saying that teams league-wide have been notified that Vegas is open for business.
Right.
45 minutes before the trade deadline comes to an end. Like, why would they not get that done weeks ago so that something maybe could have happened? I don't know if it could have happened.
As far
anyway,
I think, Brian, it had to do with the last payment clearing through the clearinghouse. I mean, it was $100 million. It's not like going to the bank and trying to get your $23 out of the bank. So I don't know why it cleared at 2:15 and not at 10 a.m. or...
But based on your understanding, could they have technically done something over the final 45 minutes?
Yes, but not with
live players. Not with NHL players.
Okay.
Or even anybody on an
anyone
NHL
on a
roster.
Contract. Yeah.
Right, under contract.
Yeah. Okay.
So you could move draft picks.
Yeah, and I guess why would you do that?
The one thing I think is going to be really incredibly interesting is the day the Stanley Cup ends and then Vegas is open for business.
Yeah.
And then the they're open for business. There's the expansion draft. There's the entry draft, and there's free agency. That's all going to be in about 7 days.
That's where I said this on my way up here after doing my TV obligations. So we're going to have another show, because that's where all the moves are going to happen.
Don't give them any ideas, Jim.
I know.
But you're right, though. That's the most interesting.
You know, why would
year.
You do that? It's the last week of June. We're enjoying our time.
I'm fine with it. It's.
Oh, you're fine with
it.
No,
I'm saying,
you can just drive here.
You don't
I'm
have to fly in.
We're not. We're going to be talking about it on SC, but that's where we're going to have 25 transactions.
That's when Duchesne gets moved. That's when the big names get moved.
But you're
going to
see teams jockeying. All of a sudden, at the last second, Marc-Andre Fleury fetches something for Pittsburgh instead of losing him if he waves. Like, that type of stuff. I think there's going to be a lot more jostling. And Bob McKenzie called it. I was talking to him off air last week, and I said, do you think there's going to be a lot of jostling? He says, I think it's be quiet. But he goes, before the expansion draft, that's where you'll see a lot of bodies moved. And he was right.
I think it's going to be a wild summer, I think. Potentially by 12:01 on July 1st, Connor McDavid will have an 8-year contract signed in Edmonton as well. That's something I'm looking forward to seeing.
Well,
what kind of money we're
talking? What about John Tavares?
John Tavares?
If John Tavares is not signed by July the 3rd?
Stamkos 2.0, like going into a season as a pending UFA.
As a pending UFA. I mean, that becomes a major story.
Right.
Okay, but what if McDavid's not signed by July 1st?
It's not as big of a deal because he's an RFA and he's still got another year, but you have to believe Chiarelli on July 1st, wouldn't you think? I mean, he'll have other priorities, so maybe it takes 5-10 days, but at some point Chiarelli's going to say, let's get you locked in here 8 years
for life.
Do you not think he just gives him an empty piece of paper?
I think so.
Do your best, fill it out.
Whoever represents him just sends over, fill the number out, and we'll register
it
with the league.
Times eight, and we'll move along.
And this time next year, it's Matthews. We're talking about the same thing. You know, I presume that will happen.
Well, they just did that with Jay and Dan, didn't they?
Basically. Yeah, they're coming back, man. SC with Jay and Dan.
It's good to see that they've refocused and really settled down.
Right.
that was good to see.
They've matured greatly.
Yes. They've turned a corner in L.A.
And listen, they're smart people. They're coming back in the fall, so they get to go through the spring in L.A., maybe some summertime in L.A., then come back and hit the ground running. Probably post Labor Day, I would guess, but.
Oh, well, no use ruining the rest of the summer.
That's right, man. I don't blame them. All right, buddy. I think, are you flying out tonight or what's your plan?
No, tomorrow I am going, where am I going? I'm going to Anaheim. Toronto's in.
Oh, on Friday night you're going.
Yeah, I got the Friday night game. And
how about that one with a minute 23 last night?
Like, you get so close, and you know you're just thinking about scrounging your way for that extra point. But that was some defending on that goal. It looked like a conga line over there. What were they doing?
I have no idea. I've been harping on James Van Riemsdyk for a while. He has to take blame here, too. He instigated the whole breakdown. He had the puck in time inside their zone, turns it over, and just stood there.
But okay, and then so once they get back into their zone, where they've got the three guys standing a foot and a half apart, how they ended up spreading out, Marner ended up down by the goal line on one knee.
Marner tried to block it at the last second.
I mean, you got three guys there. There's no need to block anything. Right. But anyways, it was a tough point at the very least to give away.
And it puts pressure on them in LA and Anaheim, right? Yep. They've got to get points. Yeah. Like Boston's on fire right now. Ottawa's got, what, Colorado tonight? Or tomorrow, they're going to smoke
them. I'm going in for that game.
And Florida won last night. Philly won last night. Like, all these other teams are going to keep picking up points. They got to get points in L.A. And potentially in Anaheim. All right, buddy. Safe travels.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, man. Tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Any chance O's in tomorrow?
I know I'm not in tomorrow, and there's
really?
A better chance I'm in tomorrow.
He's going on holidays.
I know I'm not here.
You're
but
on holidays?
But there's a better chance. Yeah, I'm taking a few days.
Really? Well, good for you.
I figured I deserve it.
He's worked hard this
season. You guys get the whole all of July and August off.
That's true.
And I take a few days scattered, and you guys are going to complain about that?
I never complain about it.
All of July and August.
And most of September.
September. Every year we send Ray an email around Labor Day. When do you want to start calls? And you're always like, October.
Hey, they're having a good camp, aren't they?
Right. Yeah. Listen, I don't blame you. All right, buddy. Well,
hey, take care.
I'll talk
have
to you
a good
on Tuesday.
Talk to you Tuesday.
All right,
later
Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray again will be on tomorrow with the boys at 5 p.m. like he is every day throughout the week. And he's calling the game Leafs Anaheim on TSN 4 on Friday night. We'll wrap up what was not as busy of a day as we were hoping, but still an active day nonetheless. This is Overdrive TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. A few games in the NBA tonight. I'll lay the points Atlanta at home against Dallas. I'll lay the points Miami at home against Philly. And the same thing with New Orleans against the Pistons. Throw down 20 and you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, we'll get to the three stars later in the hour. The O-Dog, I think he may come up in the three stars. Maybe some audio in the three stars.
Yeah, we have to hit that. And not only today, for the rest of the season and next season.
Is there catch-up on that?
It's going to be a catchphrase.
A drop forever.
It's a drop forever. It's going to be on T-shirts, I believe. A hashtag.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great line.
It's a great line.
Is there catch-up on that?
You have to know these kind of details. If you're going to nosedive a burger on live TV, you better know what's going
on. How serious. And Ray is bang on. Like, he had a growl on.
As serious as a judge. And he was just starving. He wanted ketchup on that burger.
Yeah.
And I think he got the answer he was looking for.
He went to town. And now I'll say there was an NHL player. So I was in the background. So they were on the panel, and I was on a panel in the back with Gino and Wardo, and they delivered me some poutine. So I'm not a big poutine guy, but I was really hungry. So while their panel was on, I could see in the monitor I was kind of in the shot, so I kind of leaned over and was eating. But apparently it was a wider shot. So there was an NHL player who was watching and snapped it and said, "Hungry?" And zoomed in right on my face, and I'm leaning over just working on some poutine.
See, that's the amazing thing about this whole day that I appreciate, because you guys were on TV for so long. I've used the Big Brother analogy many times.
Yeah, you forget.
Exactly. When you first get into the house, you know the cameras are on. You're aware of it. A right. day or two after that, not even, like an hour or two into it, yeah. you're not going to constantly worry about
how
do I look? What am I doing right now? What are people going to see? What is the perception of my whole routine at this point?
Right.
You forget and you go on with your life. And that's what makes TV so great. Live TVs. You got to be human.
Right.
You just got to go with it, right? Like a lot of times TV, like this is why I love radio. Radio is completely unscripted.
Right.
We have no idea what we're going to say when we turn on the mics. We do 15 hours of live radio every day.
Yeah.
Or every week. No idea what's coming.
No.
And that's the beauty of it. It can be dangerous at times.
Very dangerous.
Can lead to some anxiety at times. But I think that's what I love about radio. TV is a beautiful thing as well. I don't do nearly as much as you do. I've had the ability to do TV, though, before.
Right.
It's a rush for me. I really enjoy doing it. But it is a totally different beast.
Oh, for sure.
It's very scripted. You've got to be in at this time. You've got to be out at that time. Today, it's totally different, though. It's live TV.
It's like a telethon.
10 hours.
It was a telethon.
People are walking in, walking out.
Food's coming. People
food's
are yelling and screaming.
And I think that's what actually makes it so entertaining for me. It's not about the trades. It's about the interaction. It's about the humanity of it all.
Well, the behind-the-scenes stuff is pretty good, too, because you sometimes forget people are on. So you run into somebody or you're telling a story and it's loud and people are shushing you. Like the Letterkenny guys came in. I have a long history with Jimmy Playfair, who's the assistant coach in Arizona. He was my head coach in Calgary. I worked with him in player development when I retired. His son, Dylan, is one of the Letterkenny guys. So I've known him since he was a kid. So I hadn't physically seen him in a long time. Jimmy had sent a note. He said, hey, you know, my boy's coming in, say hello. And so we lock eyes. It's like, hey, big hugs, high fives. And we're hooting and hollering and yucking it up. And the panel's talking 15 feet away. So you get shushed. Like, that's the type of stuff. Behind the scenes, it's pretty cool. But today was, as Ray pointed out, it was a grind because of the lack of movement and the lack of significant names. If Jerome McGinley got moved 10 years ago, that is all we're talking about.
We would be buzzing about it all afternoon, regardless of where he came from or
right.
where he went. Even 3-4 years ago when he got traded to Pittsburgh or whatever it was.
The initial.
Massive news.
Exactly.
But Aginla isn't the same player he was.
He's 39.
LA's not the same team they were.
Exactly.
And you're right. I mean, today, Thomas Vanek, another guy, 5-7 years ago when Vanek was scoring close to 40 goals.
Right.
It's a big story. But now he's a buyout.
Mm-hmm.
Buyout player.
He's been through a buyout. He's
been
on the downside, and
doesn't have the greatest reputation in terms of intensity and playoff performance.
Yep.
So yeah, that's not going to move the needle.
No.
And then you know you look at the Maple Leaf deal. It's essentially we'll take some money on and throw us a draft
exactly.
pick. That's like basically what they acquired today.
They did a favor for Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Give us a fourth rounder. We'll take on the money of Eric Fehr and Steve Oleski.
That being said, I like Eric Fehr as a player.
But who are you knocking out, though? That's the thing. They talked about it. I'm not taking Josh Levo out of the lineup right now for Eric Fehr. No way.
But if you end up making the playoffs and there's injuries, you've got some protection. Eric Fehr has been through some wars. That's what you're getting. You're getting a guy who has played in the playoffs, knows how to play in the playoffs, instead of calling somebody up that would be out of their element.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the protection comes in. Lou Lamoriello said, this group deserves a chance and deserves that type of insulation. What they did is they acquired some insulation in the event you make the playoffs and your depth gets challenged. Eric Fehr can slide into the lineup. That's kind of what
I saw. And that makes sense, and I understand that for sure. Let's hope they get to the playoffs.
Yeah,
they got 20 games left. They're currently in a spot.
It's going to be a grind, but as I told you off air, 20 games is potentially 40 points. You got to go after it like you.
But they probably have to get 23, 24, 25 points.
You have to be north of 500 easily. Mm-hmm. Like you've got to produce, and you've got to beat teams that you're either trying to keep down or you're trying to catch. And you're going through California. I know California, as we said yesterday, isn't as scary as it used to be, but it's still time zone change, back-to-backs coming up. You've got to find a way to get points. L.A. if it's as must a win as you've seen
every,
all season.
Every game from here on out is the most important game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not literally must win hockey, but it's creeping closer to that.
It's right there.
And it's not only about your own situation. If Boston continues at this pace, you got to keep up too. Ottawa, they've been plugging along themselves. Florida won last night. Philly won last night. Tampa may not completely be out of the woods yet.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a two-way street for sure. And you've got to just continue to approach every game as if it's not a must-win game, but
you've got
you understand what's on the line.
I agree.
A list of players that didn't get dealt that we thought might. Matt Duchene, Gabriel Landeskog. I'm not that surprised, though. Those names, those kind of deals.
Right.
Higher impact players with money in term, they get dealt at the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that's possible. Anthony Duclair, some people thought he would get dealt at Arizona. He didn't. He just got called up, so I think he's going to play down the stretch.
I didn't think. What's interesting, I saw the list, and I thought some of the names on there were quite high. Like Marc-Andre Fleury should have been a top 10 like acquisition. If I'm the Calgary Flames, I'm looking at him. If I'm a team that needs a starter, I'm looking at Marc-Andre Fleury, and I thought he was a little bit farther down on the list. Like Anthony Duclair was ahead of him. I don't see the massive upside on Duclair. I think he's a skilled player, young guy, but is...
I think it's youth and contract and potential.
I get that.
Right? And position. Like Fleury, the goaltending position is...
Yeah, there's only,
so many jobs.
Yeah, you're right.
But... you know, there was some news that maybe, or reports, rumors that Evander Kane could be on the move.
Yeah.
But he's finally playing well for Buffalo.
Played very well.
But he has a ton of baggage. He's been arrested before. He's been involved in off-ice issues that have not looked good on him or the Sabres. So I could almost make sense of that. Mm-hmm. Buffalo said, okay, play yourself into quality value because we made our decision. We don't want you around.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think that one's done yet. Shane Doan didn't go anywhere. Now, he had a small list of teams he's willing to go to, but...
Yeah, that one didn't surprise me as much. I know he'd waive, but almost like the Aginla situation. If you're going to get Aginla, would you rather have Aginla or Doan? I'm saying Aginla.
I'd take Aginla.
And I don't think there was a marketplace for... Like, if Aginla ends up in L.A., that says to me that Chicago, Pittsburgh, Washington, all the teams that think that they're in pretty good shape... said we're good.
Yeah, we don't
need that. Which sucks for Jerome, but he's looking at all the options and saying, well, L.A. is a potential team, kind of like what we talk about. If you get there, you give yourself a chance.
Are you ready for the Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day brought to you by Babsox?
Yes.
Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day.
Third star, I'll say Jay and Dan. Now, they're basically first stars, but they're both coming back to TSN.
That's a big move.
We can't wait for it in the
fall. Best acquisition for the day.
Yeah, big acquisition, Jay and Dan.
Second star, everyone who put in effort today, regardless of what your role was. It was a tough day, and I think we pulled it off considering there weren't a lot of trades. There was a lot of downtime. Everyone did a good job.
Everyone brought the heat. And first star, play the audio, Moles.
Is there ketchup on that?
The O-Dog Jeff O'Neill for supplying us with the greatest soundbite in live TV history. Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day is brought to you by Babsox. Add a little grit to your wardrobe with hockey's greatest game day ritual. Pull up your Babsox and support the team. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.